This evening, I want to focus on the subject, growing stronger in humility. In the footnotes in our Bibles, we have verse 13a, which says, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Now, theologians have debated over many years whether this text should be part of the Lord's Prayer or not. Many of the ancient manuscripts include this text in the prayer, but some don't. There is no question about doctrine or theology within this text. It's absolutely sound. In fact, one scholar says, if this closing doxology is not from the lips of Jesus, it certainly reflects his heart and his mind. But only you can decide before God. But I believe that the text is in harmony with the prayer and other scriptures. Think of 1 Chronicles 29, where David says this, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted above all." And then in the light of that statement, David says, "And who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give it generously as this, because everything comes from you, and we have only given to you what has come from your hand." As David looked at the majesty, the power, and the glory, and the greatness of God, he said, "Who am I? And who is my people that we should be able to offer anything to you, that we should serve such an awesome God?" As we read the prayer of Matthew 6 and the impact of that prayer, I feel like David. Who am I? Who are we that we should be involved in this amazing mission? Now, I want to suggest to you that if we fully understand this text, 13a, and we apply this text, we will grow stronger in humility. Let me unpackage these three statements. First of all, yours is the kingdom. It is God's kingdom. It's a divine kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom. It's an all-powerful kingdom. It is a supernatural kingdom. And God longs to establish that kingdom through his people. It's astonishing, but it's true. In the context of Jesus doing the work of the Father, in the context of miracles and establishing the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven, in John 14, verses 12 to 14, this is what Jesus says. "I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will even do greater things than these, because I'm going to my Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." This is one of the most challenging verses in the whole of Scripture. We will do even greater things than these. It's also one of the most inspirational verses in Scripture, because God would long to use us to establish his kingdom here in Worthing and in Basingstoke. You see, he wants the blind to see. He wants the lame to walk. He wants the sick to be healed. He wants the dead to be raised. He wants those who are oppressed to be set free. Now, can I encourage you this evening? Do not let the disappointment of the past rob you of the kingdom of God in the future. Let me explain. When we were in Amersham, I had 16 churches in Ghana to look after. And in 2003, just a year after Hannah, her daughter, died, we went on a teaching tour of these churches. And it was full on. I preached 16 sermons in 1 week. And the last service was on the Sunday morning, and Liz and I were absolutely exhausted. And at the end of the service, I saw this lady speaking to the pastor, and she was crying. Then the pastor came over to us, and he said this. He said, "This lady's son, who's almost 18, has been sent home from the hospital to die. He has a brain tumor the size of a satsuma, and they can't operate. And she's pleading, would you and Liz go and pray for his healing?" Well, I looked at Liz, and I didn't have to ask, would she go? She was already there in the spirit. And so we went, and Samuel, he was lying on a mat in this empty room. And as we walked in, you could smell the stench of death that was in the air. And we lay beside Samuel, and we sang over him, and we prayed over him. We read scripture over him. We anointed him with oil, and we held him for a long time. And we asked that God would be merciful to him, that God would come and fill his little body with his healing power. And we came back to the UK. A year later, the senior pastors are in Amersham giving a report about what's happening back in Ghana. And all of a sudden, up pops in the screen a photograph of Samuel. And the senior pastor says this, "Oh, Samuel was sent home to die with a brain tumor as large as a satsuma. And Pastor Paul and Liz went and prayed for him, and God healed him of the tumor. Completely gone, absolutely gone. He's now serving God in a church in America." I want to implore you this evening, don't let the disappointment of the past rob you of the kingdom of God in the future. And I am humbled beyond words that God would want to use me. He would want to use us to usher in his kingdom. And there is a sense in my spirit from this prayer week that there will be within you an increase of kingdom activity. And I want to encourage you to look for it and to expect it, because his kingdom has come and it will be established amongst his people. Second statement, yours is the power. In the context of building the temple in Zechariah 4, God says this to Zerubbabel. He said, "It is not by might, it is not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord." The power belongs to the Lord, but he longs to build his kingdom by his spirit through us. And that's why we have received gifts from the Spirit of God. In 1 Peter 4, verse 10, we read these words. "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as a faithful steward of God's grace. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." I say to you this evening, never underestimate what the Spirit can do in you and through you to build up the kingdom of God. And when you feel that you're out your depth, and when you feel you're beyond your comfort zone, just step out. And God will empower you to do what he's asking you to do and much more. This happened to Liz and I when we were doing a teaching tour in Brazil. The first Saturday evening, we were in São Paulo, and I preached in this church. It was about 300 plus. And at the end of the evening, I gave this appeal for people to come forward in order that Liz and I could pray for them. And usually in the UK, you might have a handful of people. Over 150 people came forward for prayer. It was half the church. And so Liz and I had to separate with an interpreter at either end of the auditorium so that we could pray with the people. But before we did that, we stood together and we said, Lord, would you come in your power? Would you fill these little vessels that belong to you with all the gifting that we need to do what you're asking us to do this evening, to build up your kingdom and to bless these people? Then we went our separate ways. And I stood before this young man, and as I prayed for the Spirit of God to come upon him, he fell to the ground on his knees. And as I looked at this young man, I saw this net, and the Spirit of God said to me, he is going to be a fisher of men, just like Peter. Tell him. So I told an interpreter to tell him that he was going to be a fisher of men, just like Peter. This young man cried and cried before God. I moved on to the next young man and I asked him, what would you like God to do for you this evening? And this was his reply. He said, I want to be saved. He said, I want to be born again. And the Spirit of God prompted me to ask, who brought you to the service? And he replied, my best friend. And I said to him, where is your best friend? And his response encouraged me no end. He said, he's kneeling beside you. And I looked at the interpreter and I said to him, tell this young man to get on his feet. He's got a fish to catch for Jesus. Liz was over the other side of the auditorium and she was praying for this woman, and she saw an eternity ring. And she felt God say, I want you to tell this woman that this ring is a sign of my undying love for her, that I will never leave her nor forsake her, that I will be the faithful husband to her that she's longed for. This lady wept in her presence. The interpreter turned to Liz and he said this, that woman's husband left her 3 weeks ago with three young children. You see, when we yield ourselves to God, he longs to fill us with his power, with his spirit, with his gifting to build up his kingdom. And I believe within my heart of hearts, from this week of prayer and fasting, there will be an increase of passion. There will be an increase of gifting. There will be an increase of power and anointing as we receive these new clothes that God has prepared. And we will build up the kingdom in Buckskin Evangelical Church and beyond. Third statement, yours is the glory forever and forever. This glory speaks of splendor, majesty, holiness, justice, and goodness. Remember Moses in Exodus 33. He makes this outrageous plea before God, and he says to God, I want to see your glory. Show me your glory. And this was God's reply. He said, I will cause my goodness to pass before you. The glory of God belongs to God, but he longs for that glory to be reflected in the church and through his people. Jesus in John 17 is praying that the glory that he and his Father shared will be seen within you and I. That's why Paul, when he wrote to the church at Colossae in chapter 1, verse 27, he says this: Christ in you is the hope of God's glory being seen. My, what potential. I tell you this, the unchurched, like never before, needs to see the goodness of God pass by. And I want you to know that for every food parcel you give, every act of compassion, every act of kindness, every phone call that's made, every visit that's made, reflects the glory and reveals the glory of God. And when you live united as a family, it reflects the glory of God. So let me suggest that when we pray this doxology, your kingdom, your power, your glory, we will grow stronger in humility. Because it's not about my kingdom, it's about his. It's not about me, it's about him. It's not about what I can do, it's about what he can do in and through me by his Spirit. As I prayed for you this week, the Lord laid three things on my heart that I prayed for that I want to share with you as I close. First thing I prayed for, that you would be a church without walls, that the glory of God would be seen within the community, that you would be like a city set on a hill, a beacon that cannot be hidden. Secondly, I prayed that you would be a church without prejudice, that everyone and anyone would be welcomed and embraced unconditionally. And thirdly, I prayed that you would be a church without limitation, that you would not only think outside the box for God, but you would think that there is no box with God, because nothing, absolutely nothing, is too difficult for him. As I close, I want to read to you the words from Ephesians 3, verse 20, where we read, "And now unto him who is able to do far more than all that we can ask, think, or imagine, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations." And it's forever and ever. Paul says, amen.